All right, everyone, that's the last time we'll get to see that this year. Okay, that's a wonderful thing. So we've been through this series throughout the year, and I'm so thankful that we have walked through it. It's been How to Thrive in Christ Together. And so let's start off by thriving in Christ together. Let's start off by letting three people know that God loves you and God wants to bless you. Come on. God loves you. God wants to bless you. God loves you. God wants to bless you. We got to let everybody know God loves you and God wants to bless you. And that's what we're going to have some perspective on as we finish off 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Corinthians 16 today. And we wrap up our How to Thrive in Christ series. I know I remind ourselves every week of this, but what's great about it is somebody's first time is every time that we get to gather online and in the house. So that being said, just a reminder for those who are tuning in with us for the first time, the reason we've walked through this series is the Corinthian culture is very similar to ours. They live by a motto that says, you live by your truth, and I'll live by mine. The problem becomes for the Corinthians and for you and I as Christians, we can no longer live in the truths of the world. We must instead live and walk fully in the truth that is Christ. That is how we thrive in Christ. And this has been what Paul has been doing to exhort them and help them do that together. And that's the perspective we're going to have today as we learn through love the Lord. Love the Lord. Sounds really crazy. I know. We're going to end the series with that. Love the Lord. And so I started helping me think this out. Paul's going to help go in that. If you got your Bible, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 15 and 16. And then we're going to get to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. You want to get there in your place. But as you're looking for that, let's have some perspective about this. I want you to think back to the time when you got your first puppy, right? Maybe you got a new puppy right now. Think of everything that happens in preparation for that puppy. Get a dog bed, probably get a kennel, got to get food, right? You probably get shots for it, maybe flea or tick collar, right? You know, puppy pads, you got to learn what to do with it. You got to help it understand what happens. You got to get guards up on everything. If there's stairs, you got to make sure you got all these. You get all of these things for this puppy. Why do you do it? Because you love it, right? Whether it's been able to fully show you the love and affection yet, you love that puppy. Now, some have children that are more valuable than puppies, so you do the same thing. You get a whole room ready, and then you got to get a whole house ready. But at the same time, what can connect with all of us, maybe some folks don't have children. I want you to think about that puppy. You do all of these things in preparation because you love that puppy. You love that animal. You are willing to do anything for that animal, and eventually that animal will be willing to do anything for you for a few snacks, right? Like for the right snacks or belly rubs. That animal will be able to do that. And this is what Paul is trying to help them understand as they're getting ready to live this life thriving in Christ. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and get to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to be at the very end, the verse we started with a couple of weeks ago. Then we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 16. Again, just a reminder, then we'll be in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. If you don't have a Bible, as always, we have a few Bibles in the back. Multiple now, if you would like to write your name in it, bring it back with you next week. We'd love to see your smiling face. Also, you can follow on with us for free on our Vine Church app. Great information hub, got all kinds of information on there to follow along with us, but you can have notes in there you can specifically keep or share with a friend. And last but not least, Zach Candler, our Vine Production team, make sure wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, the scripture's on the screen for you. If you're at 1 Corinthians 15, as we've started all year long, in verse 58, give me an amen. God's people said amen. It's a tough one. We got an hour of sleep last week. We're getting it back. Everybody's got sniffles. We're getting ready for a deep freeze. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Frosty's going to live until Wednesday, and then he's going to melt away, and then hopefully come back. I don't know. We're going to see what happens. So that being said, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Let's dive into what Paul is teaching us and how we can love the Lord. And it says this, again, therefore, reminder in Scripture. Whenever you see therefore, go back to what Paul's talking about. Now, what is Paul talking about? He's saying he wrote this whole chapter in light of the resurrection. So he is saying, therefore, in light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This means that the resurrection matters. That means the work that you and I do in the Lord is not in vain. It carries over to eternity. Not our work, our work in the Lord, our work in obedience to the Lord. Think back to, like, if you ever watched The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, or you talked about the Chronicles of Narnia, think about seeing the good tree that passes over from old Narnia to new Narnia, or even the Narnia tree itself that helps you pass from old Narnia to new Narnia. And it's something that looks very familiar when it's in there. And why in the world did it say it was there? It's because its goodness passed from the old into the new. Like, think of the apple tree and the silver apples. I won't get too deep in there. But when you go in there, if you know anything about that, what you do now carries over in eternity in the Lord. Without the resurrection, that is not true. That does not matter. It means you and I can give the gospel till we're blue in the face, but if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, it doesn't matter. We can set church up, tear it down, give until we're blue in the face, serve at the soup kitchen, get names on bricks, build building after building after building after building after building. It does not matter without the resurrection. DePaul is saying, in light of that, stand firm in your faith. Don't be shaken by the world and the truths of the world. Stand firm in Christ, knowing that what you are doing for Christ is not in vain. And now he comes to the big part, where, as Jeremy and I like to joke, ushers lock the doors as you come forward, because he's about to hit the heart of the matter in 1 Corinthians 16. And it starts in verse 1 through 3, and he says this. Now about the collection for the Lord's people, and everyone tuned out, because that's normally what happens. It's like, oh, crap, they're going to take up money again. Oh, crap, we're going to unpack this in a minute. Not about taking up money, but this is what Paul is trying to get at. He's saying, stand firm, don't be moved by the ways of the world. Know your work is not in vain. And he goes on to say, about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. Very important. Saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. No car warranty text. I'm just kidding. Or phone calls, right? No collections will have to be made. And he says this. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. So Paul is teaching us and reminding the Corinthians and you and I, how do we stand firm in the faith and our generosity? In our generosity. This is why we celebrate that every week at the Vine, about giving of our time, our talent, our treasure. It's about generosity, trying to live knowing that you truly can't outgive God. Now, the thing is, what is Paul writing about? Inside the church in Jerusalem, they were experiencing famine and poverty. But if you've ever read any of the epistles or the letters that Paul writes to the churches in the New Testament, as Paul has even said to the Corinthians, they weren't experiencing famines, they were experiencing persecution themselves. And yet Paul still says, hey, you're going through persecution, you may have your head chopped off for the gospel, but I would still love for you to give to Jerusalem, who's having people struggle at the widow's tables. I couldn't think of a better time than the time we live in that this could be talking about, right? Everybody's freaking out about a government shutdown because this isn't there and that isn't there. And it's an opportunity again for the church, as always, to rise up. God is creating this for us to rise up as the church to be a part of it. Now, really quickly, we're not taking up a special offering. We're not doing anything like that. Just prepare our hearts for the season. So don't get excited. The ushers didn't show up to lock the doors. Maybe next week they will. That being said, and I'll have a basket, a big long basket, and I'll just shake it. Like, have you ever been to one of those and they just keep shaking it to you trying to get something? I don't know what they're shaking out. But Paul's getting to the heart of it. He writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, one of the very famous verses. I would encourage you to look it up later, but he says, don't give because of compulsion. Don't get caught in an emotional thing. Get as God leads you. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, we don't give out of begrudgingly to God, because God never gave begrudgingly to us. So when we give, we don't give because we say, well, if I don't give, then God's going to be mad at me. If you're doing that, I'm going to be honest with you, don't give. I'm not telling you not to test God. I'm not telling you not to trust him at his word, but you're going to miss out on the fullness of that blessing. That's why people start arguing about the Old Testament versus New Testament tithe and whether you do all that. And I tell everybody who wants to argue with me about that, do you love the Lord or not? Because I don't have time to argue about that. Because it's not worth it. Your 10% or not giving 10% ain't going to get you into heaven. Jesus is. So who cares? You argue about that all day long. You walk your walk, but I'm telling you, you want the fullness of it, as Paul is writing and as God has said all the way through. Trust him in it, but don't do it begrudgingly. Give cheerfully. Does it mean that you don't give till it hurts? Yes, we still give sacrificially, but we do that with joy. That's what this season is all about. So this is why, just a reminder, why we give at the Vine. This is why we give. God's called us to give 10% to nonprofits, 10% to local churches every month, and 5% to gospel-centered nonprofits each and every month of all tithes and offerings received. That's to go straight out the door. And I shared with our Vine fam earlier, I'll share as we watch online, because some people can only watch us online. I was wrong with our numbers last week. We are going to cross $1 million in tithes and offerings received, but I read the numbers wrong. I transposed numbers. I had read it $998,000 and some change in tithes and offerings received, and it was $989,000 and some change in tithes and offerings received. So we should cross it with our normal tithes and offerings this year by God's grace, but that's where we are in terms of tithes and offerings being received. The reason I share that number with you is because today, as we just celebrated a minute ago, over $369,000 has been sown into global missions. Now, I'm not great at math. Actually, I was really good at math. But I'm not great at math. So let's just think about this. 369,000 divided by a million. How close to that is the 15%? Is that above or below? Well above. Now, people say, well, that's crazy. Why in the world would you do that? Because God called us to give it. We don't give anything unless God calls us to give it. Like, it would be stupid for us to do that. We don't get ahead of God. We stay in step with him. This is what Paul is reminding the Corinthians to do. Stay in step with God. Whatever he's called you to give. Don't give emotionally, because you miss out on the fullness of it. Give because the Holy Spirit moves you to do that. Now, think why that matters. Because that's what the Acts 2 church did. Isn't this always been God's plan? Even in the Old Testament, that's what they did in the temple. The church always supported the church. It wasn't about government funding or government subsidies or tax-free things that made the church function, because from different governments to different emperors to different persecutions to no persecutions to thrivings to crusades to whatever it is, the church always supported the church inside the congregation and outside the congregation. So this is what Paul is trying to get to the church plants. Hey, Galatians, don't just worry about the Galatians. Support the church around the world in Jerusalem. Start there. Hey, Corinthians, do what the Galatians did. And if you keep going and you read, he'll say that. He'll go all the way through. Hey, now Corinthians, you do what the Ephesians did. And like he just keeps going. Or Galatians, you do what the Ephesians did. And he used them all as models together on how to give, to remind them that it is about supporting us and supporting the orphans and widows inside the church, also doing that globally, because that is God's plan. That's how we're part of him building his kingdom. Why in the world do I bring that up when we do that? Because that's what we're celebrating in a couple weeks with Operation Christmas Child. It's one of the clearest pictures we have, building a shoebox for children that we may not see this side of eternity. And it's in the beat-up moment, so I'm going to be real with you. These children, Joel has talked about missions over in Africa, and I will tell you, these children that we get to give to, our boxes may go to Nicaragua for all I know. I don't know where they'll go. Guess what, though? Parents, you get to track them. You're going to get the QR code. You and your kid get to track it wherever it goes. But I want to let you know, those kids are happy with a stick. They aren't pouting over a PS85. I don't know what it is now at this moment. I know I did, probably. I'm sure I did growing up. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you getting your kids that. Give as God calls that. That's not up to me, because I'm not called to steward your children. Those kids not only were happy with a stick, they played with a bicycle rim. They didn't even get a bicycle, and they would push the rim. But you know what those kids don't have? They got a lot of joy, but they don't have Jesus. We get to give our kids Jesus and joy. That's why we should thank him every morning, that we can get our kid a PS85 if that's what they want, if that's what we can afford. See, here's the thing. We as a church say, hey, that's not good enough. We want our children to have the heart of generosity. They don't only see it in their home, but they get to see it in the church. And they're going to come together in a couple of weeks on the 23rd, and they're going to build this shoebox. God willing, we're going to have a little shop again set up for them, and they're going to pick items for these kids. And not only are you and I going to get to take pleasure in that in heaven, when we see that child when they give their life to Christ, your child is. When they give their life to Christ, not only are that child going to stand up and say, this shoebox changed my life, your child's fingerprints are going to be all over it. That's what the church is all about.
This is what Paul is getting at when it comes to collection. This is why we have to be generous, because the truth of the matter is, in the church, we operate off tithes and offerings. Everybody talks about money. We can't love God and money, but it takes money to do things. We're not selling advertising space, right? Like, I'm not selling this today. Today's message brought to you by this laxative. I'm just kidding. Like, whatever that is. Today's message brought to you by no snooze. Like, whatever that is. Like, what if I did that? Today I was tore up and then I took some no snooze. Like, that would be awful, wouldn't it? That would just water down the gospel. But instead, we get to come together as a congregation, faithfully giving of our time, our talent, and our treasure. Why do we do that? We'll get to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. Scary verse, but this is why we do that. If anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be cursed. Come, Lord. Scary. What does it mean by be cursed? Well, that's somebody who doesn't love the Lord. What is it that Jesus says is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the fulfillment of the law. These are the only two things you and I are called to follow as Christians. Jesus has done the work of everything else. And it'll take our whole life on this earth to do it. Love God and love others. It says that one that does not love the Lord will be cursed. That means those who do not love the Lord will spend eternity in hell. It's that simple. They spend eternity in hell. See, Satan believes in the resurrection, but doesn't love the Lord. The demons know of the resurrection. They don't love the Lord. See, I talk about him all the time when it goes to this, because this is kind of a scary thing for us. But the truth is, Jonathan Edwards was a leader in the Great Awakening in America. He was a pastor in the Great Awakening, an evangelist, and he saw thousands come to know Jesus. And what kept him up at night is he wondered if those salvations were true or not. If you wonder anything about Jonathan Edwards, he's a hellfire and brimstone preacher. A lot of where we get the best is yet to come, or the best is still yet to come, comes from Jonathan Edwards, by the way. If you've ever read him, he's got some really hellfire and brimstone stuff. But the reason he thought about that at night is he said, I stayed up at night wondering if the salvation was true, because it wasn't the moment that someone raised their hand that kept me up at night. It's whether they love the Lord. Because if they love the Lord, their salvation is real. If they don't, it was just an emotional decision. Now, it's not up to me to question your salvation. Hear me out. It's not. It's not up to me to question your salvation. But I'm saying, if you don't love the Lord now, heaven's going to be miserable. Absolutely miserable. If you don't love and delight in the Lord now, heaven is going to be the most boring, worst place that you could ever spend. But if you can delight and love the Lord now, it's going to be greater than you could ever ask or imagine. Paul is saying, if you love the Lord, you're going to see it show up in your money. And we think so many times that, oh goodness, here we go again. We're going to think so many times that it has to do with that. But Jesus himself taught us that. That the thing that is going to bother us the most is money. Because money will make us comfortable. Money will make us feel fulfilled. But the funny thing about money is it disappears just as quickly as it comes, doesn't it? Maybe let's go back to where we started. How about this? But when I'm hitting this and I'm trying to hit home today, maybe that's where you're stuck in your walk with Jesus, is you believe and you know him as your Lord and Savior, but you don't love him and you're struggling with that. Think about your dog, all right? Like, think about him, little Fido, ready to go, right? You can believe it's going to be cold outside tomorrow night. Your dog does too. But if you love your dog, you'll bring it in to not freeze to death. See, you and your dog can believe something and you cannot love it and not do anything about it. But when you believe something with love, it requires action. Do you see the difference now? I can look out the window sipping my coffee and my poor little dog's freezing to death. Man, it sure is cold out. Crank the heat up a couple more degrees. We're good. But if I love my dog, I'm going to bring it inside. Different. See, Jesus reminded us of this. He's saying, hey, this is why we have to give and be generous, because there's something that's going to go after our heart. We're going to treasure it more than him. So flip to Matthew 6. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Very familiar passage of scripture we're going to be walking through together. But it's going to hit again at the heart. Paul's not just making this up about money. It's actually coming from the words of Jesus himself. It's found in verse 19 to 21. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. And Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, did Jesus say, if we store up? No, it's do not store up. We are going to store up something. We're either going to store up a U-Haul down here that ain't going to fit in that same hole that we're all going to, size hole we're all going to be buried in, or that urn we're going to be carried around in. As my Papa Hawkins used to always say, there ain't no U-Haul in heaven, boy. And he always crack me up. He always called me Tiley, and he'd just laugh. He said, ain't no U-Haul in heaven, Tiley. Like that, and I just hear him laughing now. Crack me up. He watched a lot of Benny Hinn. We won't open that wound. So when I saw the Star Wars, anyway, we won't open that. It cracked me up. But if you ever been to Roebuck Baptist? He funded a lot of that being built. So that being said, we talk about all that crazy stuff. I have a family that's crazy in ministry, awesome in ministry. God is faithful when it comes to that. But that being said, we're going to store up treasures in heaven or we're going to store up treasures on earth. There is no in between. It all depends on what you treasure, what your heart treasures, what you love. And it got me thinking as I was going back to that, and it made me think of those widow's mites. It's this time of year, this story always gets brought up, the widow's mite, Jesus talking about it in Mark 12 and Luke 21. And if you remember, she's got like two copper coins, and all these people are bringing all these offerings in, and Jesus and the disciples are standing there, and he sees this woman go to the tithe box, and she drops her two copper coins in. For those of you who are wondering, I want to say this has got a couple different applications. She dropped her 2 cents to God. She said, I'm not going to give my 2 cents worth. I'm going to give it to God, number one. When we try to tell God how he should bless us instead of trusting him and how he should bless us, just remember, she dropped her 2 cents. Because what did Jesus say about that woman? He has given more than anyone else in here. Why? Because she gave all had. She gave up her 2 cents to God. Think of it on the flip side. If she gave up all she had, did she keep any for herself? No. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. Y'all know we don't prosperity gospel. I ain't standing up here trying to fund my next jet plane. I'm not trying to do all of that stuff. But I am telling you, that woman gave in obedience to what God called her to do. And for her, it was dropping her 2 cents. Maybe today that's where we need to be in prayer. We got to drop our 2 cents and trust God in obedience to that. He didn't keep anything with that. So it made me think about me. Am I more excited about here comes Amazon and Walmart right down my driveway? Like, is that what I'm at? Am I excited about that more than spending time with God? Because sometimes it can be, right? Thank God it's finally here. You know, the thing you've been waiting for, it finally came in. Or when I go to have my quiet time to eat with God every day and eat his word and let it fill me, do I get as excited with him about that? Truth of the matter is, sometimes I don't. I'm human just like you. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't want to get on my knees and pray. Sometimes I'm just like, God, I don't feel like it. Yet I still do. Because I've learned that when I don't, the bad days become so much worse. It never works out well if I don't. And I don't mean like, oh, bad things are going to happen to me. It's that I don't have peace. I don't have the fulfillment I need through it. Because I haven't talked to my Savior. I haven't talked to my Jesus. If I have to talk to him, then nothing else matters. If I treasure something else over him, it does not matter. That's why I would say, maybe you need to be asking, what is he calling you to give of your time, your talent, your treasure? Because he reminds us, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Jesus should always be our ultimate treasure, right? He is the king of our heart. 90% of divorces in America cite money. 90. Most of the time when it comes to premarital counseling, I will always try to say that's the thing you're going to fight about the most. You think it's going to be something else. Most of the time couples think it's either going to be sex or kids or something like that. It's money. You're going to fight about money. Money's always going to be the problem. I don't know. Everything else you think is that, it is tied back to money of some sort. You spent that on that instead of me, that on that instead of them. Money is always there. And money is not evil. It takes money to do things. It takes, you and I can do great things with money in this world. The question is, do we worship it more than Jesus? Do we see that it's just something he's called us to steward? Or do we think that, man, if I just have, I'll put it this way. If it's constantly when you go to your prayer to God, if I just had this one more thing, it would work out. Maybe, just maybe, that one thing's an idol in your life. And I'm almost guaranteeing you, because I fall in the trap too, it's tied to money of some sort. Money of some sort. If I just won the lottery, that's always a fun thing to say. It is. If I just won the lottery, you know what? If you just won the lottery, you'd be like me. You wouldn't tell anybody. You probably would go, you go live in an island for a year, and then you'd come back a changed person. You got your own little Wilson, like Castaway. You're good to go. Like, that's what would happen. You'd want to get away for a minute. Wherever you are with that, when it comes to that, I want you to think about that. Are we asking God for one more? Because this time of year, we can easily get disillusioned with stuff. Stuff on the tree, stuff under the tree, stuff on the house, stuff to do, places to go. Like, I feel like this time of year, honestly, is when we fill our calendar with so much because we realize how much we've missed out in the 11 months prior. Because I got to get it all in because I screwed up for 11 months. So let's just get it all in this 12th month. And then everybody comes together. Oh, we got to go to this thing. We got to go to that thing. And you're just wore out. Well, I'm thankful we take a break in a couple of weeks together to try to get through the wore out. Maybe, just maybe, this year you can do something different. Maybe, just maybe, this year you say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with my time? What do you want me to do with my talent? What do you want me to do with my treasure? Because I've found in my life, the more stuff I have, the less satisfied it seems, right? I seem to be less satisfied. If you believe that, then the richest people in the world should be the happiest people in the world. And are they? I mean, I joke around, man, just give me $1 billion, dude. I mean, you ain't going to hit nothing. I mean, we'd have a building, we'd have all these things. But then at the same times, and the words, I can't say that in church, but you know, there's a specific rapper that sang a song, Mo' Money, Mo' Problems, but we won't open that up in that great prophet. So I'm just saying, with mo' money comes mo' problems. We have more problems when it comes to that. So for you, what is God leaning into you? What is he telling you this year? What is he calling you to give? Maybe it's to support that mother, that single mother this year. Maybe it's to support somebody down the street. Maybe it's to support your neighbor. Maybe it's just simply cooking something and bringing them a meal. I don't know. I can't tell you what that is. I can tell you where Jesus always presses my heart. But what is God calling you to do? What is he pressing into you to do? To the woman that gave her 2 cents worth, she didn't fear that she would have enough, did she? I wish I could always have that faith. God, I'm going to give this in obedience to you, but you know I got this coming up. I got this I got to get done. Plus whatever surprise happens. But when he calls you to give, trust him in obedience to give it. Because how you and I give is an act of worship. Jesus says it in Luke 12. He talks about a man who had a great harvest. He had a good business year. You remember, what did he say? Instead of giving to the poor or making it work out, he said, I'm going to build a bigger barn. I got to get a bigger, bigger storage unit. That's what I need. A bigger house, a bigger this, a bigger that. And God, and Jesus looks at him and said, this very day your life will be taken from you. What good is that storehouse? What are we storing up treasure for? Us now or heaven eternally? See, the thing is, when it came to that storehouse, I would reckon to say we missed the point, perhaps, is I guarantee you there was a poor person that stood at the end of that person's field. I guarantee you when they were harvest, instead of giving the outer edges of the field to a Ruth that was gleaning, that farmer said, not this year, you're not getting any. But I got to have a bigger barn. I got to store it. See, it was because he was being disobedient to the Lord that he lost his very life. What about you? See, God loves you and God wants to bless you. This isn't a beat-up moment to say, I better give today because God's going to be mad at me. No. If you think your tithe and offering matters to God more than you, what is it that Jesus said? If you have a problem with your neighbor, don't put your gift to the altar. Reconcile with your neighbor first. Then you bring your gift to God. God wants you to be a cheerful giver. He wants you to have the fullness of the joy of giving. Because the truth of the matter is, that's what we miss out on when we give out of compulsion. So how much does God love us to be reminded of? Well, maybe we just need to think about what God held back from us. Romans 5, verse 6 and 8 says it this way. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and me. God didn't hold anything back from us. Maybe we shouldn't hold anything back from God, because it says this in verse 7 and verse 8. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't withhold anything back, whether we were faithful or not. So in faithful obedience to him, we should give all that he calls us to give. Do you think that if God gave his one and only son, that he wants you to not be provided for? I have a hard time believing that sometimes, don't I? But then I go to those kids with that stick. I go to that elder you talk about, that Joel talks about, that said, we prayed for somebody to be healed the night before, and you wake up wanting to know, hey, is that person healed? And he says, I prayed about it, didn't I? I had faith, did you not? Whew, that hits me hard, because I'm just like, I don't always do that. I don't always do that. So what is God calling you to do today? See, the greatest blessing we have is not on this earth, it's actually in heaven. And those blessings, I believe, just as much as our work, carry over into heaven. The greatest blessing God wants to give you and I, just a reminder for those who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, is the treasure of his son. Not the treasure of this world that will fade, it will spoil, it will go away. Those little shoe boxes are great, but the most important thing in those shoe boxes we're packing is the gospel. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not fade. He is the ultimate treasure. We should make him the king of our heart. We should make him the treasure of our hearts, because he alone is worth building our life on. So the question again to remind us is this. Are we building our life on the things of this world? Are we treasuring the things of this world that will never satisfy, always leave us hungry, and never leave us fulfilled? Or do we trust the one who came to give us a full life and will always satisfy? I hope we're encouraged today to trust the Lord to give what he's called us to give. Maybe today the Lord's calling you to give your life to him. You've realize that in this world, you've been trusting the things of this world to sustain you, trusting the things of this world to satisfy you. Your love for everything in this world has neglected your love for the Lord. As we just read about, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The only way that we can have the fullness of this relationship with God is through his one and only son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. He lived a perfect, sinless life you and I could never live. Sin is anything that is against the perfect will of God. Anything that is not perfect is sin, and you and I are not perfect. We might be great. We may have won all the beauty contests, won all the crowns, won all of the championships. We still cannot be in measure of fullness and righteous before God. It required Jesus to do that, to give us his righteousness. Then he goes to the cross and he dies for us, paying the penalty for our sin. See, because we can't be righteous, we're sinful. And because of sin, there's a wage of that, and that wage is death. So we can either die to ourselves and have Christ's death be the substitute for us, or we can go before God in our sin and die eternally because we treasured the things of this world. Then Jesus loves us enough not to stay dead. He rises again on the third day by the power of the Holy Spirit, leaving an empty tomb, defeating death, hell, and the grave, so that you and I can have a full life, a full relationship with God now. We just have to believe. We have to receive it. That's it. We receive it by believing in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So that's what we're going to open the door for right here. We do this each and every week at the Vine. For those who are coming to faith for the first time, we pray this prayer. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's the faith that saves you. The faith that Jesus is who he says he is. You are making him the treasure of your heart. And here at the Vine, nobody prays out loud, or nobody prays alone, so we pray out loud together. So with every head bow and every eye closed, I'm going to ask everyone to repeat the words of this prayer of faith after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, if you're in the house or you're online, if it's the first time you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have made him your ultimate treasure. You have made him Lord of your life. You have laid down the treasures of this earth. You have laid down yourself. You're seeking the things of this world, and you now seek him and him alone and trust him for your salvation. If that's you, I want to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three if for the first time you have done that. One, two, three. If you're in the house, if you're online, you can leave us a comment. You can leave a raised hand emoji. You can reach us through the app. You can shoot us an email at hello@thevine.tv. Shoot us a message through social media, whatever that looks like. We want to celebrate this decision with you because we want to help you to continue living in the love of the Lord by getting you connected with a local church near you. And for the rest of us, this is one of those seat clearing message, but the seats are pretty clear this week, so we're good. I know that we're not going to clear the seats. I know every one of our sowers here who give of their time, their talent, and their treasure, but I just want to say, maybe you are looking for a space and a place that loves the Lord and trusts him in obedience, and we've got plenty of space for you. We would love to see you, and so in this moment, we're going to stand up, and we're going to worship the King of Kings the way he deserves. So let's stand up and worship the Lord together.
Praise.
as ushers lock the doors and come forward. I'm just kidding. One day I'm going to get Jeremy to help me do it, and y'all are going to freak out, and that's never going to happen. Y'all know that. So I'm thankful for all of our sowers who give of their time, and their treasure. I'm thankful in this season of giving that we know that we can trust Jesus to give whatever he's called us to give, that we're not trying to store up for ourselves treasures on earth. It doesn't mean that we can't enjoy the things of this earth, because just think, if we get to enjoy them here, how great heaven's going to be. Like I said last week, you ain't got to put on the sweatpants here in a couple weeks, you know, just to get the extra loop in the belt. Like, it's just going to be a great big wedding feast. It's going to be amazing. And those of us who are in, we're going to see the glory fully of the Lord. And those of us who are in Christ Jesus are going to have a fellowship forever. It's going to be better than homecoming at that old school church all the way through. Speaking of that, we would love to invite you to come to maybe old school church, I guess. We've already sang a Christmas carol because that's how we roll in this house. We would love to invite you to come hang out with us next week as we can, as we start, not continue, our new Christmas series, The Light Has Come, and we celebrate the light of Christ and all that he has brought us in this dark, dark world that is searching for him. So we would love to see your smiling face. We got all kind of sweet treats over there. Prayerfully, none of us have any frosting issues this week, as I said, and Frosty melts away, and we're all happy, and we don't have sinus issues, and this weather figures itself out with the bipolarness that is normal of this year. So hope you have an awesome week, and always remember,